Good morning. This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Thank you for tuning us in. We trust that we can be of some help and encouragement to you and perhaps even challenge you today as we look at the scriptures. Now, if you'd like to contact me, as I have told you often, you can do so through by regular mail or through my website, and I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now, the website has my personal testimony on it, a weekly meditation on it, as well as other questions and answers and information that you might find helpful. In addition, you can re-listen to this program on the website or pass it on to others. It's downloadable, so you can pass it on to others from the website as well. So if you want my website address or mailing address, I'll give that to you at the close of the program. Now, last time we spent some time on the importance of the Word of God, and I have been convinced that today we have become very intellectual in our study of the Bible. Most people will not study it with confidence for themselves, but they listen to others who tell them what it says. It's sort of, to me, like getting a letter from a loved one and having read it, thinking you understand it, and then having somebody else pick up the letter who doesn't know your loved one and have them tell you what the letter really meant, what the writer was really saying. And since they didn't know the person, it would be sort of like the unsaved interpreting the Bible. Since they didn't know the person, they could cast all kinds of doubts on the veracity of the message. But we believe that if we are a saved people, if we are sealed with the Holy Spirit as we ought to be, that is, we know that upon believing we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, if we are a people that have an open mind that's willing to be changed if we're wrong, if we're willing to give some prayer and meditation to the Bible, I believe that we can all personally be responsible for our understanding of the Bible. I believe the Bible was written for the common person, and I believe that the Lord intended for the common person to understand it. Now, I'm not saying that academic work on the Bible hasn't been helpful. Archaeology, and particularly work with language and culture and history, has helped us understand the Bible, but those helps are all available to us today. I have them available to me on my computer. And so I want to encourage you to believe that the Bible has been written to you, and that you can understand it. We understand that there is an Old Testament and there is a New Testament. And we understand that the New Testament is for the day and age in which we live, and it takes us on into the future, to the millennial day of Christ and the eternal day of God. But primarily it's written to us today. Now, the Old Testament was written to the Jews, but it's written for us. That is, for us today. The Jewish people are God's object lesson on this earth as to the way he works and as to the truth of his power and the fact that he fulfills his promises. And so when we look at the children of Israel, we're looking at a people who demonstrate to us that God is faithful, that God does have a plan for this world, and that, in fact, what he promises, he also fulfills. Now, there's been a lot of question about that, because he promised to return the second time when he left, just before he left the first time, that is, when he was talking to the disciples. He said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And it's been 2,000 years since that's been promise has been fulfilled, and we have to understand in the scriptures we don't see time the way God does, and that promise will be fulfilled. So when we look at Israel, we get an understanding of how God expects his people to worship him. We get an understanding of holiness. We get an understanding of the promises of God and how they'll be fulfilled, and of the dependability of God. Now, we aren't going to reconcile all of that today, but we need to understand that if there's a question of interpretation, often it comes with regard to how to apply Old Testament stories, pictures, and types to New Testament believers. How do you take that which is physical and make it spiritual so that we can understand it? Because the Old Testament deals with a physical land and with physical promises and with a physical people, while the New Testament deals with a spiritual land and spiritual promises and a spiritual people. But let's just go back to the book of Genesis and think about the book of Genesis for a few moments. And what I would like you to do between now and the next time you listen to this program, hopefully next week, I'd like to have you read through the book of Genesis. You can read through it in what I would call a good version, an academic version, like the King James or the New King James or the English Standard Version. You can read through it in one of those versions. But I could also suggest that you read it in one of the more modern versions, which puts things in language we can understand. Perhaps not the best interpretation in every case, but a real help, at least even to me. And one of those would be the New Living Translation. And so read it with the King James or the New King James being your benchmark, but read other versions to help you understand language and the way some people have interpreted or translated that language. So when we come to Genesis, what we're really looking at is a book of beginnings. We start out, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It's a book of beginnings. It has stories in it, stories that have spiritual meaning to us today. There's the story of creation, and of course that story involves Adam and Eve. There's the story of Noah, and that story involves the flood. There's the story of Abraham, and we find out that he was called out of idolatry to a land where he would be a pilgrim and a stranger, and where he would worship God, and he's called the father of faith. In that story, we also have Lot, and along with Lot, who wanted to mingle with the more liberal element of this world, we find that we have the destruction of people that are much like our world today, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just thank God that we live in a day of grace where God does not immediately destroy us for practicing some of these sins. And we come to the story of Isaac, who is a promised child, a child that Abraham and Sarah did not expect to have, but who had been promised to them. And it was because Abraham believed that promise that he was considered the father of faith. And then we have the story of Jacob, who really was a deceiver. That's the descendant of Abraham and Isaac, and he was a deceiver, but he ultimately became the Prince of God. And then we have the story of Joseph, who was taken down into Egypt and became a savior in Egypt of his people. And he's a picture, a beautiful picture of the deliverance that we have spiritually in Christ. And so these are the stories that we look at in the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, some say the stories all have to do with going down, because it seems as though when God created the heavens and the earth, it was good. But it wasn't long before Satan entered in and he managed to deceive Adam and Eve. And so then from that time on, they had to leave paradise or that garden, and they had to work, you might say, because of the sin they had committed. They had to work with the sweat of their brow. Eve gave birth with travail. Adam was called a man of sorrows. So you see that while the subject was a matter of going from perfection to a case of imperfection or even chaos because of sin, yet God had a way of redeeming his people. And the same with Noah. We had over 1,000 years before the flood. We know that that the people lived a long time, and they did. They became more and more evil. They don't. We don't get closer to God. The further we get along in life, it seems like we get further away from God, unless there's that moment in our life when we come to trust Him. And of course, with Noah, there was. We find out that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and I think that means that Noah had a time when he personally himself came to faith in the one true God and worshiped Him and found grace for the sins he had committed, because Noah was born a sinner just like us. And then we have, again, the story of Isaac, who's the promised child, and it pictures to us the coming of the Lord as the promised child. Now, when we look at Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham and even Lot, who in the Old Testament we would think might not have been saved, but the New Testament tells us he was, and that he was grieved with the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. When we look at Lot and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, we're looking at people who I believe will all one day be in heaven. They were imperfect. They were sinners. They needed to be saved, but one day they'll be in heaven. And the question I have when I read these stories is, will I be there? And I settled that back in November 24th, 1963, when I trusted in the truth that Christ had died for my sins. And I'll meet these people in heaven, and it'll be based not on what they did for God, even though they did much for God, it'll be based on what God did for them, because in the Old Testament they offered sacrifices which pictured the work that Christ would do for us at the cross when He died, the just one for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And so the key verse, as far as I'm concerned, between the Old Testament and the New, when we look at the book of Genesis, is the story, or the verse in Romans chapter 4, verse 3, that says, "For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Abraham was not considered righteous by nature, but through his faith, that was attributed to him for righteousness. And friend, that's the righteousness that we need as well. The righteousness that comes with saying, God is right, even if that makes me wrong. The righteousness that comes when we face our own sin, our own unbelief, our own questions, and just turn it all over to God and say, I don't have to understand it, but I believe it. And thank God, there's a tract I have that says, God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. And Abraham was like that. I hope that's the way you come to the Scriptures, and I hope that you will follow along with me as we kind of take an overview of the Bible to help you understand it and to show you that it's understandable by the average common person who can read. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Have you? I trust that you have. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask Thee for Thy blessing upon the program today. We want You to bless all who have listened. We thank You for salvation through faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.